In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the Monday of the Holy Bascha week, and if we can just get the review where we've gone so far, the Lord Jesus yesterday entered into Jerusalem as a king, and then retreated to Bethany in the evening. And then in this morning, Monday morning, as he was going to the temple, going to Jerusalem, he found the fig tree. And the fig tree had a lot of leaves, but no fruit, because it had a lot of leaves, but no fruit. And then he went to Jerusalem, and this is where he cleansed the temple. And then after he cleansed the temple and drove out the money changers, he went back out to Bethany and spent the night there in Bethany. And I think if you look at these two scenarios of cursing the fig tree and cleansing the temple, they're kind of tied to the same thing. So the problem with the fig tree, not that it didn't have any fruit, but that it had leaves, it was out of season, so it shouldn't have fruit. But it had leaves as if it had fruit. So this is kind of like an image of hypocrisy. And then the Lord Christ proceeds to go into the temple, and then he and the disciples begin to see what hypocrisy looks like, and displayed, of course, by the Pharisees. And I think, you know, the Lord wants today, as we journey through this Holy Passion Week, to begin with the cleansing. The cleansing of the temple, or maybe the cleansing of my heart. We look at the Pharisees and we might say, but perhaps we have the seeds of the same disease that the Pharisees had. There are three primary, diseases or three primary sins. They were hypocrisy, pride, and ignorance or foolishness. So let's go through them really quickly and get an idea and measure ourselves as we journey through this week in the spirit of repentance. We measure ourselves to see perhaps I have similar traits as the Pharisees. And mind you, the Pharisees were the only group of people that the Lord Christ had a problem with saving. And actually, he makes this last week, and more so tomorrow, Tuesday, the Tuesday of teaching, we'll find that the Lord is making this last-ditch effort to try to save the Pharisees and to get them to follow him and to confess, but they don't. So these were the most difficult group of people that Christ dealt with, and it was because of their hypocrisy and their pride and their ignorance that kept them from rejoicing as Christ with the King, and also on Sunday, Palm Sunday, and also rejoicing with him as a Savior on the day of his resurrection. So the first disease was their hypocrisy. And I'll just mention a couple of, examples or a couple of traits of hypocrisy, and we can measure ourselves. The first one is typically the hypocrite is very concerned with the value, how other people value him. He's concerned with the opinion of other people a little bit too much. That's why the Lord says what? In John 12, he says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." So even among the rulers, the people believed in Christ. But he says what? "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." So they believed him, but then they valued what other people thought of them more than what the truth was and what was clearly evident before them. And he continues and says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And many of us know through our experience in life, you'll find the praise of men is very transient. It's very, comes and goes. And you'll find the one who praises you today could be the one who curses you tomorrow, or perhaps even in the same day, right? So the praise of men doesn't last forever, and it fades. It can be somebody maybe tells or spreads a rumor, and the praise turns to criticism and to resentment. The Pharisees also valued what people thought of them, so they prayed in places that they can be clearly seen. It says in the woes that they prayed in the synagogue and kind of lifted their hands. Why? So the people would see them and praise them for that. St. Paul, kind of when he addresses the issue, he says concerning the apostles now, he's concerning the apostles, he says, for do I now persuade men, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So he says, if I still pleased men, and mind you, he's speaking from who? From experience, because he was what? What was he? He was a Pharisee. The Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? So he's speaking on, still pleased men, I would not be able to become a bondservant of Christ. So the bondservant of Christ who's committed to him willingly is not the one who's too concerned with what the people think, but what God thinks of them. Do I carry about my day thinking about what God thinks of me or what the people are going to say about me? The next part of hypocrisy, or the next symptom of hypocrisy, is the numbing of the conscience. The hypocrite is usually pretty good about numbing their conscience. Damir, yareh ad-damir, very good. What is this? Is they do or say something, and then they tell themselves something else to numb, yani, their conscience. As if the most important fault or the most important issue is the conscience, not the sin itself. Do you follow me? So the issue is not the sin, but it's the conscience that troubles me. How can I give rest to the conscience without really regard to the sin? So the problem becomes more about me, not about the sin that I have committed. You know, it's like, you know, in the medical field, they'll tell you what, don't treat the signs, but treat the underlying cause. So if I have come in with like a runny nose, or if I have, you know, spitting, or have like sputum coming up and it's discolored, do I just give something to, you know, rest the cough and the sputum, or do I look to see if there is an underlying infection? If we just treat the symptoms, we're just like putting tape. But then when we go in and treat the underlying cause, then what happens? Then everything, all of the symptoms associated are uprooted, right? So the hypocrite is the one who just treats the symptom, the part that's on the outside, and then numbs the conscience, the underlying cause. I'll give you an example. For example, some people might say, I'll commit this certain sin, and they know that it's a sin, and they'll commit it. And they'll come and say, Tayyib, this month, this thing, I'm going to fast one extra day. Or I'm going to give 12% of tithe rather than 10%. Is going to help the sin. No, what I'm doing, I'm just putting a piece of tape over it, trying to cover it with my conscience, just covering it, right? Just doing something to give rest to the conscience. Or somebody, this is very common now with the social media and with all of the sermons that are online, will say, we'll listen to sermons, and there'll be people that have sermons on 24/7 in the house, and they think that listening to the sermons make them a righteous person. Is it the listening that makes us righteous, or the doing that makes us righteous? If I listen, this is good. But if the listening doesn't translate to doing, then what? I'm just, you know, putting a Band-Aid on it. I'm just relieving the conscience. I just say, okay, I have this playing in the background, and this just, bireh demiri. Even some of us are here, you know, today. We're praying the Beskel prayers, and we're saying, Thuk tatigom, thine is the power. And then we might go home, and then it turns, the switch turns from the church to the home, and I begin to be angry, yelling and screaming, maybe perhaps cursing, indulging in different things, right? So again, I'm just coming to the basra as a tape, just to rayh ad-damir, to relieve the conscience. The third thing about hypocrisy is they do things to gain the admiration or the praise of people. The hypocrite typically would do things so that other people can praise him. Listen to what the Lord describes about when he tells us to give charity. What does he say? He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So where would they give their offering? He said that they give them in the synagogue and in the streets. So is this good? It seems like it's good. But why are they giving them in the synagogue and the streets? Because there are a lot of people there. The people will, you know, see us reaching in my pocket and putting, you know, in the money. I recall when I was a bit younger, I used to attend a church, and they would pass the money plate, and it was a plate. It wasn't like a bag. So everybody saw what the other person next to you was putting in. So even if, you know, perhaps there was somebody poor and really couldn't put in much, and I happened to be sitting next to somebody who was wealthy, you'd see somebody put like in a 50 or 100, and the person next to him was putting like $1 or $2. But someone is very embarrassing. And that's why we don't prefer this. And actually, we don't even prefer the bag. We prefer just to put the donation boxes, and everybody puts as they can. And if you remember also, in the same scenario, we have the scenario of the woman who puts the two mites, right? We have the contrast where the Pharisee or the wealthy person puts in much and is seen by all. But then you see the woman, غلبانة كده على قدها, she puts in the two mites in silence كده and puts them in. And then the Lord praised her because she put in out of her poverty. You know, she wasn't looking to get praise from anyone. But who did she get praise from? From Christ, right? And he put this became in the gospel, and we read it, you know, every Pascha week. And whenever we read the gospel, we read this passage. And we give this woman praise and honor because of what she did. So do things to get the praise of others or the attention of others. God willing, at the end of the week, Malish Sittet, forgive me, we're going to have a feast of the resurrection, right? Hell, when I come and get dressed for the Feast of the Resurrection, am I getting dressed? So the woman next to me will say, wow, what a nice dress. What nice shoes he has. Or even worse, to get the attention of the gentleman. Why am I dressing? Or am I dressing well as coming to church to present myself as a bride to Christ, right? Or am I worried about the exterior? The first problem was the problem of hypocrisy. The second is the problem of pride. The problem of pride. Of course, we speak a lot about the problem of pride because it's the root of all sin. And I think if you can think about the pride, just think about I and my. I and my. When you use the words I and my, what is the context? I do so and so. I did so and so. Right? My children do so and so. My business is so-and-so, right? So these are all the seeds of pride when you use I and my. Of course, there are some exceptions, right? When we say maybe like, I have sinned, okay, this is a good way, right? But typically when we use I and my, they're about making myself look good and be praised. And sometimes we can use we can cover the pride with with fake humility, right? We'll say what we're talking maybe about business, and then we say, thank God, my business is so-and-so-and-so, and I have this many locations. So what did he do? He started off nicely and said, thank God, but then it began to came after that. This is exactly what happened with the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and prayed to himself, said, God, thank you. Great beginning. This is how we start all the prayers, right? Thanksgiving prayer. And then he says, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even the tax collectors. So he starts off good and thanks God, but then all the my's and I's come following after. So sometimes the seed of pride, of this boasting, can be hidden humility. And if you'll notice in Scripture, when Christ would perform miracles, very often, what would he tell the person whom he healed? Don't say this to anyone. Don't make it known. And of course, being human that they are, they're so excited about their healing and they go tell everybody. But what does Christ tell them? Don't. My time of glory is not yet. Don't tell anyone, right? So the first symptom of pride is boasting. The second is judgmental. You'll find, the person who's proud is also very judgmental. Because I'm proud, I think I'm better. So better has to be of comparison. Right? When we think about something's better or worse, there has to be a standard, right? So therefore, I'm better than somebody, then somebody else must be what? Must be worse. So when I then deem others worse, then I fall into the sin of judgment. And this judgment might be by eyesight. Like, I might be praying in the church, and then I see somebody come in and stand up, and then they're maybe coming late to church, and immediately I'm saying, why is this person coming late? They're always late. And they come and stand right in front of me, and they come late and distract me, right? Just by sight. Or we might say, I can't believe this person is taking communion. I just saw him last week, Geza. Because if you saw him for Geza, where were you? For Geza Bardu, right? You were there with him, right? They're very good about seeing any of the others. That's why the Lord warns us, says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Why are you taking out a speck but leaving the plank in your own eye? Sin of judgment, being judgmental, another symptom of pride. The third is the person who is proud also is the one who usually thinks evil of others. They usually think evil. They think maybe perhaps that people are always against them, and they think that people don't like me. Do you remember Saul, right? Saul, what was his problem? After the people said, oh, look, Saul killed his thousands, but David what? His 10,000s. Right when he saw that, because he was proud, how could they say 10 to him and 1 to me? No. Then what happened? Then he thought that David was out to take his kingdom. Although the man served him very faithfully, defeated Goliath for him, made the army of Israel look very good and all of these things, but yet he still felt that David was after his kingdom, which wasn't the case. Actually, this was something in his own mind, he was fooling himself, all because of the seeds of pride in his heart. That's why St. Paul says, love thinks no evil. Love is simple, right? It doesn't think any evil of others, but makes excuses for them. The second problem, or the last problem of the Pharisees, is the foolishness or the ignorance. And the Lord says, he describes the Pharisees as being foolish when what? When they says, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward parts are full of greed and wickedness, O foolish ones. So he calls it foolish to be concerned with the outside, but leave the inside. And he continues and says, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? Isn't the one who makes the outside the same as the one who makes the inside? So the Lord calls these individuals foolish who are look or concerned more of the outside than the inside. Very often, we're very concerned about the body. It's very common, we'll say, okay, how much time do you spend in the morning in prayer? When I say, Abban Alezi, or Our Father, as I'm leaving. Okay, let's compare that to how long we're getting ready for work. Putting on makeup, shaving, brushing our teeth, getting dressed. What is the comparison? Time are we spending getting ready for the world bodily, and then how much time are we spending getting ready for the world spiritually, right? And what's the foolish part about it is what? All of us know that the body is going to end up where? In the grave, right? Nobody thinks that the body is going to live forever. But yet, despite us knowing that the body will perish, yet we still focus so much attention. It's kind of like the image that comes to me is like the Energizer Bunny that keeps just walking into the wall. Although the wall is there and it's not going anywhere, but it just keeps running into the wall. Or anybody ever watched Moana before? And you know that little chicken that's in the movie? It just goes and just hits its face and it's not there. So it's kind of like that. We look at that and say, that's very foolish. But sometimes we do the same thing. We put so much emphasis on the things that perish, but the things that last forever, we don't give much value to. I really like in the book of Song of Songs. It's a story, about the soul or the church and the beloved or Christ. And the soul describes, or the Shulamite describes herself as being what? She says, I am dark but lovely. I am dark but lovely. What does this mean? How can she be dark and lovely? Staying dark here is she sees herself, she sees the sins of herself. All of us, we might say to ourselves, I can see all of my sins and I describe myself as being dark. But then what is lovely about her? Is that she's married or she's engaged to the king. If I'm this peasant person, if I'm like a peasant girl who lives in the poorest of villages and has just one outfit that I wear every day, And this is how I live. I can look at myself and say, I'm dark. And then if the son of the king, the prince, comes and says, this woman is appealing to me. Come, let me get engaged to her and marry her. Will he leave you in the peasant clothes? No. You will become lovely because of him. So this is how we should look at ourselves. We look at ourselves as being dark, but yet we're lovely at the same time because we're married to the king. This is not foolishness, but this is wisdom. That's why St. Peter tells us, don't let your adornment be merely outwardly, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on finer apparel, but rather it be the hidden person of the heart, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So St. Peter, who was one of the disciples, is telling us what is precious to the Lord Jesus. When what? The gentle and quiet spirit. This is what's very precious to the Lord. Lastly, just so we can finish, is another sign of being foolish is the love of money. The Lord said in the parable of the rich fool, he was just busy collecting his wealth and putting it into barns, and the crop and putting it into barns. And then the Lord says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be when you have be which you have provided? So it is who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. So he says you're being a fool because you're building all of this wealth, but nobody takes any of this with them to the next life. You know, God gave us money and wealth to exchange and to give to the poor. St. John Chrysostom says something very beautiful. He says that the poor need the rich. Easy. But he also said that the rich need the poor as well. Because it's without the poor that the rich will lose the blessing and will possibly lose their eternity because they didn't give to the poor. And the poor also need the wealthy. So we said that the Lord today came to cleanse the temple and to cleanse the Pharisee. Perhaps there's a little bit of Pharisee in me. And I challenge us and I, you know, put before us this, you know, task of perhaps tonight and as we go home to think about, is there a bit of me that's like the Pharisee? Is there hypocrisy in my life? Is there pride in my life? And is there a bit of foolishness on my part in my life? And if there is, we ask God to cleanse us, to make us pure, as he did with the temple. Although we know that we're dark, but we ask him to make us lovely by his grace. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.